Our first reading of this morning is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. And our second scripture of the morning is from Psalm chapter 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning. Well, friends, it is such a joy to be back with you. I've been away for 2 weeks, and the first week I was at the Access Winter Retreat, and it was a great time. We went sliding down some hills, and it was a beautiful, picturesque time in the snowy mountains of Scottsville. And one of the other things was a zip line, and I didn't think it was going to be open, but it was. And I fell and boom, right on my butt. But it was a good time. And then last weekend, pastors get some vacation. Thanks be to God. Amen. Are you saying that because I was away or what? No, I'm just kidding. But pastors need some time to be away and to recharge. And also, I had a to-do list as long as a CVS receipt. So I needed to get some stuff done around the house. And one of those things was painting the ceiling. Ugh, don't do that. Or don't, well, you can do it, but don't call me to help you. I will help you with anything else. But painting a ceiling is not my forte. And nonetheless, it's good to be back with you. And over the past couple of months, I've been discerning and learning stuff about life. And life is sometimes like trying to walk a tightrope while juggling flaming swords, right? One minute, everything seems perfectly fine. And the next minute, you're clinging to whatever you can grab a hold of. And you're wondering, how in the heck did things get so crazy? And in these moments, we need something more than just a good plan or a little self-care. We need to be anchored. And no, I'm not talking about being anchored by watching whatever your favorite show is on Netflix or whatever streaming service and binge-watching the entire series, though that's pretty sweet moments of self-care. But what I'm talking about is being anchored in God, the one who creates us and the one who has redeemed us and the one who has sustained us. Even when life is messy and rough and out of whack. And so today we continue in our sermon series, Anchor, trying to focus on and rest in and be steady by who God is. And today we turn our focus to God as our sustainer, as we've already unpacked God as our creator and God as our redeemer. The sustainer provides, comforts, strengthens, protects, and encourages us in every situation, in every circumstance of this life. And so as we begin, I want to invite you into a time of prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for how you provide for us, how you sustain us in every situation. God, we find ourselves often in a world that is unraveling and a world that is chaotic. And God, may you be the constant throughout it all. May we feel your presence in our lives and may we take your heed in how you lead us and guide us and how you provide for us always. And so God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer, our creator and our sustainer. And all of God's people said, amen. So as Christians, we understand God's divine nature as triune, Trinity, three persons, three distinct persons, yet one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they are not separate roles or one-time roles. They are intricately woven together, always at work together. God is always creating, always redeeming, always sustaining. And you can think about imagery like the anchor that's up there on the sermon shot. And an anchor we often think of as metal hooks, right, that keeps ships steady at sea. But consider the things that hold your life together, right? There's anchors that we put on the wall to keep our kids from pulling bookshelves down upon themselves, and so we anchor them to the wall. Or maybe a safety harness that's protecting workers that are high above the city. And each one serves the same purpose. They are trying to keep something precious, safe and steady. And here's the thing. No anchor works alone. A nautical anchor needs its chain or its rope. An anchor on the wall needs its screw. A safety harness needs its cables. And similarly, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer all worked together to anchor us and ground us and keep us steady throughout every situation of this life. God didn't stop creating after the sixth day. Yes, the seventh day God rested, but then God continues to create. After Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected 3 days later, God didn't stop redeeming us or redeeming our nature. God is continuously at work in our lives, bringing order to chaos, light out of darkness, and salvation and redemption to all people. And that's good news. Amen. Through the whole of Scripture, God's sustaining power is at work, echoing like a recurring melody, reminding us of who God is. And on a grand scale, we can rest assured from Hebrews 1, chapter 3, that God upholds the entire universe, sustaining it by His word and by His power. And even the physical laws that hold matter together, keeping the planets in their orbit or us grounded and bound to this earth, God sustains in all things, as Colossians 1:17 tells us. But on a more personal note, we see how God sustains and God provides for His people like Moses and the Israelites as they're wandering through the wilderness for 40 plus years. And God provides for them each and every day manna from heaven, fresh manna. It's not day old bread, but it is fresh each and every day. God sustained Elijah at the brook of Cherith in 1 Kings 17 by sending ravens to bring Elijah bread and sustenance, bread and meat each day in the morning and in the evening. And when that brook dried up, God had another plan at the ready. This is the same God who sustained a widow's flour and oil during years of famine, as the Old Testament tells us. Watching out for us and providing for us is proving that God's provision doesn't depend on our circumstances, but it depends and it is grounded in God's faithfulness. Amen? God's sustaining nature isn't just about physical sustenance either. It's about providing for us and protecting us and encouraging us and comforting us. We may try to ground our strength in the matters and things of this world, but they'll always make us feel empty and weary. And when we think that we are falling apart and feeling empty and weary and we have nothing left to give, we need to turn to the one who is the only one that provides unending and sustaining strength. As we heard in our scripture passage for this morning from Psalm 55, verse 22, it's a psalm of David. And David writes, cast your cares, cast your concerns, cast your everything to God, and God will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And David is going through a rough time in his life, and it's a short statement with deep personal convictions and a deep connection to how he experienced God. And much of the psalmists record this dependency on God. They express this through their psalm as God has sustained them, even in their time of being weary or even in their time of distress. And so why did David write this psalm? Well, he wrote it because his son Absalom had rebelled against him. He had betrayed David and his kingly order. And so David is just feeling hurt and in pain and anger and anguish, and especially at his son's betrayal. But then one of his most trusted advisors, one of his most trusted right-hand men, had also joined Absalom and betrayed David. And so he's filled with betrayal and grief and anguish, and he cries out to God, and he says, God, I need you to intervene in this time of distress. I'm going to cast all that I am, all that I have upon you. And the reason why David did this is because he knew that he could trust in the Lord. He knew that he could trust God to sustain him because he had been witness to this great sustaining power of God in the past. And that's good news that we need to focus on throughout every situation and every circumstance in life. We can cast our cares and our burdens and all that we have in this life upon the Lord. And we're not just throwing our problems to God, right? We're throwing our problems at God's feet and walking away, because that's not how this works. How this works is how Jesus answered it and how we should embody it in Matthew's gospel. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, learn from me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In doing so, Jesus says, you will find rest for your weary souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we find ourselves in seasons of pain and anguish, emotional, physical suffering, where do we turn? Do we try to carry it all on our own, or do we take the heed from the words of the psalmist, Psalm 55? Casting our cares, our burdens, our concerns upon the Lord. It's not just a gentle suggestion, right? But it comes from a place of deep conviction for David that God is truly the only one, the only source of our strength. David had been deeply wounded by his family. They had betrayed him, by his closest friend. David's experience affirms that God is not distant from our lives, but that he is close and that God is near. That God is actively engaged in providing for us always and sustaining us. This is a call to surrender all that we are and all that we have, all of our burdens, and give it to God. To trust in his unwavering support and endurance and strength and provision. We'll all face hardships. Some of us are facing them now. We all face betrayal. Some of us are facing it now. And even uncertainty. Yet we can stay and rest assured that God is with us, providing for us in the great strength. But the pivotal point of that is that we have to confess. We have to give it to God. We can't keep holding on to it for ourselves, but we need to cast our cares, our burdens, our concerns to God. And it's not just a one-time transaction, but it's a continuous relationship of reliance. God's promise to sustain us is an invitation to daily and moment-by-moment reliance. And through this psalm, we have that reminder that when life feels unsteady, that God is there and will hold us firm. God is the one who sustains us, because we cannot rely on ourselves. Cast your cares upon the Lord, your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He'll provide in whatever situation, whatever circumstance. When we are anchored in God, we will be able to face any difficulty, any opponent, any opposition in this life. And to know and rest assured that he is the one. It's an active partnership. It's not passive, but always active. And that's exactly what Paul elaborates in Ephesians chapter 6. And if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open that. I didn't want to invite you to open up Psalm 55. I know I was there for a while, but it's a short passage, and it should be ingrained on our hearts. Amen? Because the word of the Lord is on our hearts, and it comes from our mouth always. Amen? We're in our Bible always. Amen? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, if you're there. And I want to tell you that Paul was writing to this church in Ephesus, and he was first off telling them that, listen, you're going to go through issues in this life. You're going to go through times where you are going to face evil. And Paul says that evil comes in many different forms. And in Ephesians 6:12, Paul says that there are struggles, and they're not against flesh and blood, or blood and flesh, but they are against four things: the rulers, the powers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, and the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. But, Paul says, take heart. Will you say that with me? Take heart. Because the Lord has equipped us with a tremendous tool to withstand all forces of evil in this world. And the tool is the very armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and the shield of faith. In some sense, Paul has been working up to this point his entire letter, because he says, finally, and when a book or an author says finally, it means that you're getting to the last point, right? Hopefully. Some pastors say that all the time, but they keep going on about 20 more minutes. I hope to not do that today. But Paul says finally in chapter 6 verse 10, and he says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He begins, did you notice that? Not in our own power, not in our own might, but in whose? God's. Be strong and courageous in God and his mighty power. This is God's grace that is at work in our lives, that God's power precedes and enables our efforts. We don't pick up our own armor on our own, but we receive it as a gift from the one who loved us first. And then Paul goes on to explain each and every piece of the armor, painting a remarkable and beautiful picture of how God provides for us. And this armor is not just about physical protection, but it's about something more vital, something much more vital, our spiritual well-being, especially as we find ourselves in a world that is intent always on pulling us away from God's love and God's will and God's way for our lives. Paul says that we need to put on the whole armor of God. Not just some pieces, but how? All of it or some of it? All of it, the whole armor of God, so that we can withstand all opponents, all situations, even opposition. Each part of the armor has a purpose. It's not just clothes from our closet where we're dressing up for the day. There was mixing and matching. There's seasonal clothes that we pull out from the totes with deep within our closet. It's not just about picking and choosing the clothes that we want to wear, but this spiritual armor that Paul talks about is knowing that we are grounded and it's going to be applied daily by faith. And so at times, right, we can feel like we are fully secured, fully taken care of. We can feel like we are just grounded in God. And yet there are some days when we feel like we're missing some pieces of the armor. And that's where we need to pick up that armor and pray even more. When we feel vulnerable, when we feel exposed and unprotected. Because we need each and every piece of this armor to stay grounded in God's strength and God's power. Paul goes on to say that it's the belt of truth, the truth that helps everything together, holds everything together, the belt that keeps all of the armor in place, just like my pants are staying up right now. You need a belt, and that belt is the belt of truth that keeps us grounded when everything else seems uncertain. I'm thankful for my belt today, and I'm sure you are too. Yeah. The belt is not a weapon, right? It's not a weapon to beat others down, but it's an anchor to keep us steady and fastened. And then Paul goes on to talk about the breastplate of righteousness, and it's not our righteousness, right? It's not our own self-righteousness, but it is Christ's righteousness, protecting our hearts, enabling us to love as Jesus loved. And when we live in a right relationship with God, our hearts are protected from the acts of shame and guilt and condemnation. And next we have the feet, right? We all have feet in this room. And we need to, sorry, Mike. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love you, Mike. Yeah. You, okay. We'll talk after worship. Mike, you just threw me off, man. No. I love you, Mike. We have feet and shoes where we need to be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Shoes. Feet help us to stand firm, but they also equip us to move forward in peace, no matter the chaos that surrounds us. Whenever we need peace in our lives, we need to make sure that we are grounded in God and know that wherever the peace is needed, that's where these shoes will carry us. The next piece is the shield of faith. And Paul says that it's going to extinguish all of the arrows from the evil one. Not some, but what? All of the arrows of the evil one. Faith isn't about believing just the right thing, but it's about trusting as well. Believing and trusting go hand in hand. Trusting the God, and when those arrows come flying at us, thick and fast, when doubt whispers in our ear, when fear shouts in our face, when despair looms, faith is like that shield that protects us from that fear and those doubts and those fiery arrows of negativity that try to tear us down. Lastly, two more points. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. They're both reminders that this battle isn't fought alone. The Spirit of God goes with us, and our salvation is secure, not because of our perfect performance, but because of the security and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The security and hope that God's perfect love is always near and always with us. The helmet protects our minds, and the sword is our only offensive weapon. It's through God's word that we can cut through lies and confusion and deception and stay grounded in God's word and know God's word that is on our hearts and comes from our lips. One point to always remember about this armor of God is that each and every piece of armor is written in the pluralistic sense. It's not meant for individual combat, but it's meant to be lived out in community. The Greek words for each and every word are plural, and he's talking about everything together, not just the armor, one person wearing all of the armor, but the entire community. Our faith is personal, but it's never private. We need each other. When one of us is weak, others help carry the shield and the load. When one is tired, others can help carry the other. And Paul ends this passage by saying something very important. He says you should put on all of this armor and then you should pray. He reminds us that our sustenance doesn't come solely from our strength or from this armor, but it comes from prayer. In verse 18, Paul urges the Ephesian church and us to pray in the Spirit at all times. In every prayer, in every supplication, it is in prayer that we draw nearer and nearer to God and find comfort and guidance. Prayer strengthens our faith and reminds us that we are not fighting our battles alone. Amen? We never fight these battles alone because God is with us and the community of faith is with us. Amen? Amen. In my office, Ministry Center, if you ever want to find me, usually over there or somewhere else. But yeah, in my office, there is this little statue that was given to me, and it depicts the full armor of God. And it was given to me by one of my former youth leaders, and it's situated in such a way that every time I walk through the door of my office, it's the first thing I see. It's the first thing where my attention and my focus goes, and it reminds me that even all throughout the day, I need to stay grounded and stay focused and stay equipped in the Lord's strength as I put on the full armor of God. And some 20 plus years ago, when I was just a wee little boy, I went to this great big youth event, a huge yearly evangelistic gathering in the East Ohio Conference of the UMC, and it was called Youth Jam. And they put it on each and every year, and they had one purpose, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to transform lives together. And there were big name Christian comedians, that's a real thing, Bob Smiley, he's great, look him up, maybe his former stuff, but yeah, Christian comedians, big name artists, big bands like the Newsboys and the Peter Furler era, even DC Talk. Any DC Talk fans? Michael Tate? Yeah, okay, all right, you know who I'm talking about. This is great. But most of all, they had powerful and convicting teaching. And as I attended this event one year, I was waiting for God to show up in my midst. And the auditorium was packed with students. And at any time you could see people raising their hands and praising God. And I was doing the same thing. You had seen people that had their hands folded together and they were praying, some tears of joy, some tears of great happiness flowing down people's faces. Because they had felt this overwhelming rush of God's Spirit and presence at work in their lives. And I wanted that too. I'd felt God before, but I had felt distance. That was at a time in my life where I just couldn't feel God's presence. Something was up within my spirit. And so all weekend, I waited for God. And as I felt distant, right, I kept trying to do those same things that I always did. Kept reading my scripture daily. I was involved in youth group and service projects at the church, but yet I still felt separated from God. And then the last night of the conference, a former beauty pageant winner spoke. And I don't remember her name or her title, but she was a powerful and convicting speaker. And the story that she shared about the beauty pageants, but more so, it was a story about her Christian witness. And she used this passage from Ephesians 6 about the armor of God. And she said, there are times in our life when we might feel like we are beaten down. There are times in our life when we might feel like we are so distant from God. Yet, it's not until we rely solely on God rather than our own strength. And then she said this, I ask God to change my heart, to change my mind, and I ask God to change my priorities. God was anything but her first priority at that time in her life. And she said, each day we need to start the day by asking God to equip us with the armor. Because the armor of God isn't just for Sundays. You need to wear that armor each and every day. Ask God, she said, to guard your mind with the helmet of salvation, the heart, guard your heart with the breastplate of righteousness, and make sure that you are always grounded in his truth. And as she spoke, the auditorium just had a different spirit amongst it. And then she invited us to stand up. And Paul says stand 4 times. And I remember that because she focused on standing up for God and standing firm and staying grounded. Because Paul says each and every time for us to stand, it's because we cannot fight any enemy, any opponent lying down. You are weak when you are lying down. Yes, you might be resting, but when you stand, you are ready, prepared. And then she told us to kneel on the chairs that were behind us and fold our hands and close our eyes. And then she led us in this prayer from this position. And the Holy Spirit just went over, rolled over the crowd like nothing I had seen before. And she invited the auditorium, youth, leaders, anybody to accept Jesus. And I know that's not really what we do in Methodist circles, but the Spirit moves when the Spirit moves. Amen? And I don't know how many hands were raised that day, but I do know that my hand was raised. And it wasn't an emotional response, but it was a commitment that changed my life forever. My friends, mighty things happen when the Holy Spirit is in the house. Amen. We live in challenging times, and the battles that we face might not be against flesh and blood, but those opponents, those things that we face are real enough. Powers and rulers and principalities and authorities of the unseen world. And the good news is that we don't have to fight those battles alone, and that we fight them armed and ready. So put on the full armor of God. Stand firm in the truth, guard your heart with righteousness, and walk in peace, and hold up your shield of faith, and remember always your salvation, and wield the sword of the Spirit with love, and pray. Don't forget about praying. And so you might be asking, how can I live that out? It's not just about putting on the full armor each day, but there's more to that. I want to give you 3 things, and you can write them in the margin of your Bible, not the ones in the pew backs, but write them in the margins of your Bible, or you can take one of those attendance sheets and write them there. But 3 things. The first is pray and trust. Praying and trusting go hand in hand. Begin as the words of the psalmist, Psalm 55, write and tell us. That we need to cast our burdens on the Lord. And so take time to pray and trust that God will provide for your needs and sustain you throughout the day. Pray and trust. The second thing is wear the armor of God. Put on the armor of God daily. As Paul urges to the Ephesians, we need to put on that full armor of God. And that includes seeking God's truth, God's righteousness, God's peace, God's faith, God's salvation. It's not just about protecting ourselves from the spiritual attacks, but it's about staying anchored in God's presence and relying on his strength. And then the last one is remembering God's faithfulness. Take time to reflect on God's faithfulness in your life. And recall those times when you had felt God was there with you. How God had sustained you in the past. How God had provided for you and shown you his love. And let those memories well up deep from within us. And may they be a reminder that God will continue to be faithful to you and with you no matter what lies ahead. My friends, we are living in a world that is crazy. Sometimes. All the time. A world that is unraveling. But the good news is that we are not alone. We have a God who is faithful, a God who is steady in every storm. And we are called to put our trust in him. And in doing so, we can face whatever storm lies ahead. And we have the confidence that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that God is always for us and never against us. Amen.